Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Everybody, welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Tilford, joined by Ben Roy-Turner.
Hello there.
And Josh Brown.
Hello.
Now, some things went down the other day, which we've only started talking about in the office, in regards to some chap from Disney was at the DICE 2020 Summit, executive Sean Shoptaw, and he gave a little speech about how, you know, various properties that Disney now own, which is just everything at this point, could become games in the future. Now, he cited Jedi Fallen Order, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, and the Spider-Man game from 2017 as an example of what to do, and he said that they're looking for really unique things going forward. So we thought we'd break all that stuff down, and we can suggest some different properties that we think would be done well in game form. But I kind of want to just open the floor up to the general discussion on what do you guys think about this general movement?
Can I just say first that
yes,
they did this before, didn't they? And then they ended up killing, like taking the big old stick to all these games, Amy Hennig's game.
Oh God! Victoria. Yeah.
So they did this before.
Drag tag in 13.
Nah, that's we don't. These all sound boring, and we're just going to kill them because we can't monetize these to hell. Mm-hmm. Then they realize, oh wait, Fallen Order has actually sold something, so now we're going to get hopefully a wave of actual games again.
The thing is, like, and this is the thing that stands out to me, and I'm going to be the most old grumpy man ever, but like, I just don't believe them. I don't believe them at all. And like the whole thing when he's like, oh, we cite really, really unique things. Then he cites two of the most spreadsheet tick box games that we've had in recent memory. I know you're cringing to hell, JB Josh Brown, but I just like, if you're citing Spider-Man, both games are great and I had a really great time with them, but I can't point to a single unique mechanic that is in either of them. And both of them are really forgettable as well.
I disagree with that. They're forgettable. Mm. I agree that they take the base sort of mechanical structure of other games and do it really well, in my opinion. But when he's on about creating and doing unique things, for me, that's entirely with the story. Like, you can talk about how little risks Insomniac took with the gameplay portion of Spider-Man, but the way they, you know, redefined the Spider-Man mythos with their own take on it, having an older Peter Parker, introducing his rogues gallery in a different way, essentially putting their own spin on that story that we all know and love so much, when they didn't have to do that. They could have played it so safe, just giving us the exact beats that we've all seen before. You know, Uncle Ben's death, the origin story, Peter Parker as a teenager. We've seen that in media before, and they chose not to do that. And I think it's the same with Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, even though the core gameplay of that is very Souls-like, it's very God of War inspired. Its story, for me, is the best part. Like, you can talk about how Cal Kestis is kind of a little bit forgettable, but that taking place between those two films, episode 3 and episode 4, and then going into Order 66 in a way that I haven't seen personally, is only a fan of the movies. Even older games have taken place in that, you know, time period, but they've never done it as well. They've never given you a story, I don't think, with the depth of Fallen Order.
It's a hell of a split. You need to try and get it right, though.
It's funny because up until like the recent expansion of all like the Star Wars like comics and books and everything, 66 was just seen as like, oh, that happened. Mm. But now we're kind of seeing like the fallout of that and how it like really affected some people. Mm-hmm. Like with Carl Kestis's master, can't really pin a name right now, but like,
he's a cool dude.
How they went through and like losing all of your Padawans and like all your friends being murdered and everything like that. And just the whole, it wasn't just a quick one and done. It was also a slow, gradual thing of them being hunted down. Mm. And the idea of you playing someone, you never really do get the fear of like, oh, I could be hunted at any moment. I wish that kind of was maybe in the game.
Mm. Yeah, but I think for me, it's that wider sense of like that idea of gameplay being the thing that is, like I said, it's almost like spreadsheet. It's expected. You know what you're going to get. And that's one of the questions I have for both of you is like, are you okay with sort of the gameplay side of it being like solid and reliable and enjoyable? You know exactly what you're going to get. And then the story side is more experimental, because for me, the story side of it, the narrative, the themes, that's all things that play into the film medium. And if you're going to come into gaming, then I need you to do something that justifies it being a game.
Oh, see, for me, it's fine for them to take established formulas and just do it really well, because for a lot of these properties, Spider-Man included, I haven't seen anything that polished before. I was talking to you before we came in, a lot of the properties we've had before, whether it's Marvel or Star Wars or whatever, there's been a lot of good ones in there, don't get me wrong, but for the most part, I'd argue a lot of them were kind of 5 out of 10s. They weren't very polished. They had the basic beats of what you want, but not to the level of production that you can get now that Marvel have sort, and even EA to their credit, have sort of, you know, they've pumped a lot of resources into these games, and they are extremely polished, in my opinion, very satisfying. They might not bring much new to the table, you know, mechanically speaking, but the way they refine what's already out there is enough for me. Like, I never got bored playing Jedi Fallen Order. I never got bored playing Spider-Man. For me, I really genuinely like Spider-Man's combat, even though it is, you could argue, modeled on the Arkham style of, you know, fighting.
It's super
similar,
yeah.
It is, yeah, but like the way it's more, it's much more agile, and it's much more, for me, it's a bit more satisfying because you can link a lot of different moves together. You can go from the ground to vertical and stuff like that. And yeah, it's not exactly new, but I would argue that I had a lot of fun with it.
My thing, I think it's just me being like I said, being old man, cynical man, is that like when I played through Spidey, I was like, this is brilliant, this is immaculate. What are you doing that's new? And I always focus on that. And I think sometimes to my own detriment, because it does get in the way sometimes of like, you know, like a holistic view on Spider-Man is that it's an incredibly solid game, obviously. But it's just like, yeah, I kind of want them to always be pushing forward. And I remember there's a quote, because a lot of this was written up by Eurogamer, but I had an interview with one of the developers on Jedi Fallen Order just before that game came out. And I said, how much do you have to bounce everything off Lucasfilm? And he went, ugh. And he was like, literally everything. And it's reiterated in the Eurogamer piece as well. And they talk about how, you know, if a given developer wants to do something new on the story side, on the gameplay side, they have to sit down with someone from, in Star Wars' case, it was Lucasfilm, and find a middle ground. And I think it's another thing that I bring to the table, my personal qualm with it is I don't trust Disney to not over micromanage every single part of it. And I think Last Jedi was the last time you got a really fresh, Last Jedi is ostensibly an indie film with a big budget. And I think I love that Rian Johnson was able to do it, even though millions of people didn't like it and I didn't either. But on the game side, I think Last Jedi was the last time they tried that. And I just don't think they'll let it happen again.
The problem is so many of the old Star Wars games like were interesting because they could do what they want. Mm-hmm. Like harking back to the Jedi Knight series, you could play as like Kyle, then Kalkatan, or then in Academy, one of his Padawans. And you could actually have engaged in fights with people that were also force sensitive and lightsabers. But what the problem is with Fallen Order that I will always harken back to is like, I'm just fighting a couple of like guys with electro sticks and every now and then a purge trooper. Like, I would have liked to have more purge troopers or more like that, but I guess they need to make them seem as rare, and they can't just fill the Mythos with like always a random Sith that were just there for a moment. And that is probably the biggest problem. That's like getting the old man hat on. I think that's totally fair. Like, they can't be like, they can't be excited because they can't then go, well, the film's like, is we get a bit weird now. Luke Skywalker was the only hope.
Right.
Luke Skywalker was the only hope. And then there was another, but then there's also 700 but Jedi and all these other stories. Like,
I was going to say as well, like, how much do you think they're always only ever going to be playing to the biggest fan base possible? Like, like you mentioned before about, like, you know, the gameplay side being fine, like, it being, like, serviceable enough. Well, for me, that's the approach that they've taken with Beauty and the Beast and Lion King and all these different remakes that, for me, feel completely soulless compared to the passion that was in the originals. And I don't want that corporate just churn it out mentality applied to gameplay formulas and things like that.
Well, I think in the comments that the person made at DICE, like, I want to believe that they're going to be more open and they're going to let people do what they want. I think even though we've talked about Star Wars quite a lot, I do think that's quite an anomaly, because everything in the Star Wars universe, when it comes to the games, it's supposed to be canon. It's supposed to continue a story that already exists. Whereas presumably you'd get to the other properties like the Marvel games or anything that you know, Disney has acquired by Fox, and you would assume that there's more freedom because it's not part of a continued universe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to developers. And I think that's what they were getting at, going to developers saying, look, what do you want to do with these properties? You can kind of go nuts with them unless you're Star Wars.
Yeah, I think because Ben, you mentioned mention, like, before we recorded, that there was that really great period across the 2000s where there were tons of different Star Wars games. Yeah. Everything from top-down strategies to Starfighter.
Bounty Hunter,
which, yes, I absolutely love, KOTOR, and like loads of different games. And do you think that will be revived again?
I think as soon as we get out of this period of we're going in between the films and literally going over every single day of Darth Vader's existence. When we go ahead of episode 9 or before episode 1, I think we'll get more of that sort of like creativity that the developers want and they can do more with, because at the moment it's so rigid and constricted. I guess now we might even get some more interesting stuff between 3 and 4, because I think Disney, and now when they look off into like, say, ahead or beyond, they won't be as picky. But I think we're going to have to get out of the era of those 9 films to really get something special.
I think the thing that sticks out to me, and again, one of the main comparisons for me is obviously Hollywood, like the amount of different projects and things that Disney have got their tendrils stuck into, and how much you could feel that in Rise of Skywalker, again, as a Star Wars example. But I take that as you can even look at, like I said, like Aladdin and Lion King and, well, Jungle Book 2 and all those kind of things. And they feel corporately designed. They feel like, okay, this is designed for maximum engagement, all that kind of stuff. And it robs it from the creativity and the passion that was there before.
I kind of feel like some of the older games were as well, because like even like Jedi Starfire and Starfire, they were both taking place around episode 1 and 2. So like you were like peeping in and out of the films. Like I would prefer a game to maybe peep in and out of the films in sort of that way. But
peeping and creeping.
Yeah, like, all right there. Hello, I'm in the background for 5 seconds. You know, when Luke kicks that guy into the side, like I was over there shooting another guy.
I would kind of take that though. At least that's something that is more unexpected.
The thing, yeah, it's the problem with like, people want a Jedi game. Jedi games are going to be fun.
Yeah.
One, don't make it just like a glorified light tube. And two, there's the big problem of like saying Luke Skywalker was the only Jedi ever, and then we keep putting more and more and more, and oh, more survived. It's like it just makes it less special.
I think as well, like I said, in regards to how much they have, for me, this like suffocating approach to stuff is that they want to have this one unified vision for their properties, and obviously they wiped out all the canon stuff, all the extra stuff for Star Wars. Do you think that's going to be a problem in the gaming space as well? They'll have all these visions for what they want, these IP to be going forward in the movie space, the TV space. They want everything to be one thing.
I don't think so, because like I said, I think Star Wars is an anomaly. That is supposed to be one cohesive thing that's multimedia, whereas, you know, the other properties aren't. You have things like the remakes, which obviously they need to play into what people are nostalgic for. They need to hit the beats of what are already out there. But a lot of their other properties, I think, do have the space to be original. You mentioned there, like, the corporate shadow hanging over everything. And I do think that's true. Obviously, it's with something as big as Disney, this, you know, wannabe monopolistic force is going to want to create as much money as possible, and that's by creating corporate mass appeal like products. They're going to aim for the widest audience possible. But I think even some of the movies they've created, you can see that even though that framework can be suffocated, you can still be creative under there. Like a lot of the Pixar stuff, for my money, is really interesting, and you've got stuff like Inside Out, or you've got Coco, and they are really mass appeal movies, but they tell really resonant stories and do really interesting things and are supported by creative and passionate people with original ideas. So I do think even though something might be, you know, corporate, that doesn't always necessarily mean that any genuine originality or passion will be immediately snuffed out.
No, I mean the thing is like if they get big enough, then it's that the bankability is already within the IP, and it frees the creative side up to do something new. You can't just keep scraping the barrel over and over and over again. It's going to become obvious in time. That's where Star Wars kind of is at the minute.
The books have done it so well recently that the games, I feel, are going to get there. I feel like this is just like, say, we're in the Force Awakens period of games where they're just being safe.
Right.
But I can't wait till we get to the period of like with the Star Wars, where we get to say like that Lord of the Rings game that came out a little while ago, which I can't remember.
Shadow of Mordor?
Shadow of Mordor and Alien Isolation, that both came out the same year. Like taking existing franchises and like either doing something like safe or doing something sort of new. Like Alien Isolation was literally just a 14-hour Alien film that still worked. And Shadow of Mordor was just taking the Lord of the Rings sort of staple, but like putting an Assassin's Creed sort of tinge on it.
Totally, yeah, and like Tomb Raider kind of combat kind of thing. Oh, with the bow and arrow stuff. Yeah. But the Shadow of War then was the worst microtransaction filled bag of hell. But because we can talk about some IPs that are yet to be done well in games. And you guys mentioned Aliens before we came in. Obviously, the speaking of Shadows as well, Colonial Marines is obviously hanging over that. I think for as good as Alien Isolation was, it didn't really undo the the tarnished sort of name of Alien games. But would Alien be the top of your guys' lists and what needs to finally be given the right treatment?
I think so. Ben Roy makes a really great point there about Alien Isolation, because even though the gameplay of that is more or less first-person horror game 101, that thing was lauded because it made the Aliens world, like especially Ridley Scott's original, feel so tangible. Mm-hmm. And it was such a faithful recreation that we haven't seen to that level of fidelity before. And that's what I mean when it comes to sort of these properties, and they can be corporate, because that's essentially, you know, just selling you Alien in a video game form. But it's done so well that I kind of don't mind. You can get away with that once and then hopefully do something original after that. But for a lot of these properties, Alien Isolation is such an anomaly because, yeah, you've got Aliens vs. Predator, which is quite good. You've got Aliens Colonial Marines, which is a bag of balls.
Yeah, and big sweaty balls.
Big sweaty balls.
I know people are also good. Like, people listen to this and go, Alien vs. Predator was quite good. Yeah, it was quite good.
Wait a minute,
yeah,
which one do you guys mean? Because you're younger than me. Do you mean the original AVP?
No, we're talking about the 360 one, aren't we?
Yeah,
No.
Did you ever play that multiplayer? The multiplayer was mad.
Oh,
like,
I was all sick.
That, but that was just a copy of the original AVP.
Yeah, I know, but it was
which
also
was phenomenal.
Fun. Like, the horde mode of, you, like, was it six people or seven people versus a few aliens?
Yeah.
And then as you got eaten, like, more and more aliens appeared. That mode was awesome.
Ben Roy, one of my favorite ever multiplayer stories, which I'm dying to tell in a chatty face, happened in Aliens vs. Predator.
Really?
Where it was that mode where you start off with a bunch of Marines and then slowly, one by one, there's more aliens as they get taken over. It's excellent.
Stuff like the Friday the 13th game, and obviously we're getting Predator Hunting Grounds. If they did an AVP, like a free-to-play, you know, that style game, that would work incredibly well. You know, there are gameplay formulas to lean on with that. Because before we coming in, we were talking about different, like, Fox properties that, like I said, are yet to be done super well in games. And I cited Planet of the Apes, because I love that new trilogy.
Oh, yes.
It's genuinely brilliant. But the only game that the new series got was this weird Telltale-style choose-your-own-adventure type thing, which was really, really short. What?
I just forgot that existed.
I mentioned it when we came in.
I know, but I completely forgot it existed in that time.
It's in Ben and now.
Grabs a bit.
I thought that was from the movie.
No. So, yeah, they made, and that's the thing. No one knows about it. It's called Planet of the Apes Lost Frontier. And, yeah, you play as the humans for a bit, then you play as the apes for a bit. You have to make some decisions that affect both sides. The thing is, it's very railroaded. As much as they give you decisions, it has to go to a very specific end. It's also really, really short. But if you want to get a feel for why that new trilogy matters, which is the philosophy of humanity coming through this primitive society developing and what's right and wrong and killing and everything else, which I love, that you can get that from that game. But my point was, it depends what they do with the IP. Because the cynic in me just goes, well, you're just going to find a way to cash in as much as possible on as many things as possible, as fast as possible. And, you know, something like the Planet of the Apes thing, that came before the merger. So it's like, I can't escape the Disney corporate tendril shadow, or, you know, Lovecraftian beast that I view Disney as at the minute. But that might be different for you guys.
I wouldn't mind a nice little AA style, you know, Plague Tale sort of style, but like Planet of the Apes, so that sort of budget.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know if you could ever warrant, like, say, I don't know why I think of Horizon Zero Dawn as well, like a bigger world sort of thing.
I tell you what stands out to me is Netflix's renewed approach to it. Now, I'm not just mentioning this because I adore The Dark Crystal, but they've also done it with the third season of Stranger Things. That got a game. It was a pixel art top-down, almost dungeon crawlery type thing. But Netflix obviously licensed that. And, like, obviously Netflix are a huge deal right now. Maybe they're thinking of that as well. Like, you know, putting things out that can directly contend with the amount of Netflix properties that will now be getting games. I don't know if that's, like, something that appeals in general. Because when we were growing up, it was always, you got a game alongside the movie.
Yeah.
I guess I would like that mentality to come back.
Yeah, I mean, because I think there's so much space to tap into different genres when it comes to that. You can have sort of top-down isometric games, you can have first-person shooters, they're so malleable, these franchises, like you said with Planet of the Apes. You can look at just that sort of, you know, property and cash in on it and make money, but it's what you do, it's how you flex within those frameworks. And I haven't seen the latter two Planet of the Apes movies, but
Josh, man,
I know, I'll get to them at some point, but if the most interesting part is those philosophical discussions, if you can do that in a Planet of the Apes movie, which, you know, they've tried to reboot a bunch of times before and succeeded here, people loved that revitalized franchise because of the new things it brought to the table, because of how well it was executed. Like, I do think you can have.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, properties that will not die. And look, I don't want to defend a big company like Disney, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not on their side inherently, but I do think you can get creative people to come in and do creative things with properties that already exist mm-hmm. that you didn't even know you wanted.
I was going to say, like, from the list that I've got there, like, you guys can pick whatever you want to talk about from there. For me, something like Daredevil stands out. If we're going to sort of go down, like, what Marvel properties they haven't done anything with, if they just did the Spidey formula with Daredevil, you can nigh on copy the combat. You just need to do some sort of cool mechanic with like his vision modes and stuff. But you know, there's potential there too.
As someone who's been playing for Uncharted,
go on.
You know what I want?
Go on,
Indiana Jones, mate.
Indiana Jones, better Ben Roy.
I mean, you're very confused there. Give me either basic style Uncharted 1 Indiana Jones, or maybe even give me Uncharted 4 style where I can drive around a bit with Sean Connery in my sidecar,
going
around
good.
The desert,
and he's going, "Junior, what are you doing?"
And I'm like, "Dad, I'm just trying to find something."
You'll probably get a VR experience to like ease things in. That's what I was saying about the shared universe stuff. They could do a new indie TV show. They already have the Harrison Ford movie coming up if they tie it in with a game.
Just give me an Indiana Jones game, semi like wide linear. Let's call it wide linear. It's not like open world, because open world is too many.
The thing is, there was an old Indiana Jones game on PS2 where I remember the running headline at the time in some magazine at the time was that his hat could get knocked off in combat and he had to run over and pick it up and put it back on again. Yeah. Which was in Red Dead too. I was like, oh my god, it's the Indiana Jones, the hot tech.
I think that's one of the first things I ever searched on the internet when we finally got a PC.
The hot tech.
Just like the Indiana Jones game, yeah.
But I mean, the thing is, that's what I was going to ask about, because Uncharted very much like pioneered that style of third-person action-adventure type thing. I mean, you've got it from everything from Tomb Raider to Horizon. If they did an Indiana Jones game, do you think they would just play into that formula?
Well, this is what's fascinating to me about all of these properties, is that so many games have ripped them off already. There are so many games that have ripped off Aliens that when an Aliens game comes out, it feels derivative and done.
Yeah.
It feels like, because everyone's already mimicked what made that so good in video game form. Mm-hmm. So I'd quite like to see these franchises come back and take the template of, you know, Indiana Jones and Uncharted.
No, this is ours.
And be like, no, right, you know what? You ripped this off. I'm going to do this properly. I'm going to make the best Indiana Jones game you've ever
that
seen.
That is the thing that I think sways me, actually, is that, like, yeah, they are the authority on it. And for, like you said, as much as, like, they inspired certain tropes and like, yeah, like, thematics and stuff, like, there is still a space for them to come in and go, no, this is ours, this is why it matters. Alien Isolation is one of the best first-person horror games, like, of the generation, and it means more because it's Alien, even though it's like this weird nebulous like amount of quality that we're putting on it, but it does mean more, quote-unquote.
I think the indie thing could work a bit more because there's like no modern technology, obviously, in Indiana Jones, and I feel like you don't have to worry about the restrictions of, like, say, walkie-talkies or cell phones or things like that, and you can just proper go into, like, just... Yeah, we can have the Nazis in there. We don't necessarily need them in there. We could just go a Temple of Doom style game. Mm-hmm, fight Mr.
What other properties do you guys think still need to be done in, or are yet to be done properly
X-Men,
in game
X-Men,
form?
X-Men.
But like, can we do X-Men Origins though?
Magneto, man. I want Magneto's Day Out.
That's Control. Control is the Magneto game.
How about I just want Control and Magneto then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but, yeah, the bit in Control when you finally unlock the sort of the science experiment suit, and I was like, this is literally like a Dark Phoenix kind of game, just looking like an ex woman going around destroying everything with particle physics.
But then would the X-Men game eventually just be like a look as bland as that Avengers game?
Oh. Oh, well, I wasn't going to mention that because for me, that's the epitome of everything that could go wrong. Is yeah. that, yeah, I mean, I think, well, me and Ben Roy are the same on Avengers where we think it looks really lame. I think you're more positive on it, Josh.
Slightly.
Right.
But I have other reasons for liking what they're doing, but I'll let you.
Okay, well, yeah, I was just, that's the thing. It's just me being old grumpy man again, but I just don't see it doing anything new. I think I see it being another 6/7 out of 10 and just going like, yep, that was fine. That was exactly what I thought it was going to be.
And it'll be 50
done.
Quid as well, maybe 55.
Well, of course, it'll be like, you know, it'll be fully priced. It'll cash in. There'll be a microtransaction model. It'll have an online multiplayer. It'll be a platform for content. It'll be all the stuff
pre-order for those new outfits.
Well, exactly, and they already look pretty lame as well. But like, you know, that's the thing. That's my fear.
The only distinction for me is with that is I'd rather, at least when it comes to Spider-Man or the Avengers, it's Marvel taking a step back and going, look, we want to try and do these properties justice. We're going to give them to good developers. We're going to give them the time and resources they need to make something, and that might not always turn out well. You know what? We get so many bad games every single year just because you have all the good ingredients on paper, it doesn't mean it's going to turn out well. Mm-hmm. But that approach is so much better than what we used to have, where it was, look, I'm going to give this to this B team, you're going to have to rush it out in six months to coincide with the release of the movie, and you're never going to get anywhere with that, at least with this new approach. Yeah, you might get bad games still, of course you're still going to get bad games, but the potential to make something special is much higher in my opinion.
I tell you what I really want, because you're totally right, when in the olden days of the 2000s, it was always the case that like a game studio was given the assets alongside shooting of the film, and they had to try and crunch game development into a film turnaround, and it just never really worked.
Was the only outlier back in the day,
back in
the early 2000s, yeah. The only outlier, those Lord of the Rings games, Two Towers and Return of the King. Return of the King's one of the best
kind of, I mean,
played.
Yeah, a lot of the Lego games kind of worked, I guess, but I don't know. If I went back through it like one by one, there's probably are more, but they stand out the most. Yeah. The old EA Lord of the Rings games were phenomenal. I think it's because they had access to the assets way before shooting, plus Peter Jackson actually planned that thing out way more than the average film does.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, one of the happy mediums for me, I mentioned the Stranger Things stuff before, because apparently the Dark Crystal game is not very good, but the Mummy game, the Mummy Demastered, that worked in regards to applying the old school mentality of getting a game studio to turn it around in the same amount of time as a film, by just applying indie style budgetary restraints or indie style production. And the Mummy Demastered is like an ace Metroidvania 2D scrolling thing, and that totally worked. And obviously the movie bombed. But do you think that would kind of work as well? Like, they're on about doing like brand new experiences. You can kind of arguably do more in those timeframes if you had a more indie style approach.
Definitely. I mean, you've seen that with, I haven't actually played the game, but John Wick Hex, is it called?
Oh my god, John Wick Hex is so much fell out my chair. John Wick Hex is brilliant. Yes, that's so good.
Yeah.
That took forever to come out, but it's great.
Yeah, I mean, I've only seen people play it, but that
Josh,
looks
it's
like
so good,
really
mate.
Inspired way to take that franchise. And you know what? That's why I was saying earlier about genres. These brands are so malleable, and you can apply it to so many different, you know, interesting subgenres and styles of gameplay that you don't just have to have the big, you know, mega mass appeal third person shooters action game live services.
Yep.
You can have John Wick Hex or The Mummy Demastered alongside the bigger releases.
I think I take it all back. I think I think depending on what they do, like I said, it depends what they use the IP for. John Wick Hex is such a good idea, a good application of that IP, because on the surface it could be this really plain Division style shooter. But it's not. It's a turn-based thing where you're burning parts of your meter to do a dodge roll and then duck under a thing and then return fire and take a guy out with an expert, like, you know, haymaker. That game's brilliant, to be honest.
I want
to
play it now.
It's so good. It's not anywhere other than, like, Steam. But I play it on Mac and it runs at one frame an hour, but it's really good for when it works. In regards to, wider franchises, Ben Rogers, do you have any more you wanted to throw in that you'd love to see in HD?
At this point, I think I'm happy with just my fantasy of Predator, Alien, and Indiana Jones. Because, I mean, like, we could go into, like, say, do I want to have a Die Hard film or movie, or do I want to have a Die Hard game?
You what, right?
After that, Die Hard 5?
Yeah, five's the latest
I'm
one. Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's definitely done. But if they did a Arkham Asylum style Die Hard game, obviously I'm citing a formula to like visualize it. But if they did like a really enclosed, intense The Raid, Judge Dredd as movie comparison style story, you could do a Die Hard game like that. You'd have to make it all about crafting components. components and stuff to like make it so he has to like acquire his assault rifle halfway through and stuff.
Would be kind of sick though. Like, maybe. I would take that. And I don't think there even needs to necessarily be a new movie alongside these properties. That's the beauty of them. Like, the groundwork is already there. A video game version of any of these would sell alone, as long as you do something interesting with them. And yeah, you could have a tight Die Hard thing where you're going down the, is it Nakatomi Plaza?
It is Nakatomi Plaza.
Like, making your way around that building. Mm-hmm. Make it even Metroidvania style if you want to.
Keep oh my god, places. A side-scrolling John McClane Metroidvania. Maybe everything in Metroidvania.
Maybe.
I'd just be fine. John Wick Hex Metroidvania. I might take that as well. I was going to say it reminds me of in the late 2000s when EA started using all their money to make video game sequels to movie properties. And we had all that. Like, we had James Bond, there was Bloodstone, there was Everything or Nothing, the Simpsons game. There was like, and then outside of EA, you had the Scarface game that just pretended that he didn't die at the end. He was fine. He had to go get his empire back. And the game was great.
Godfather
2. Like, yeah. There was that whole mandate back then. I know it's because it was before Andrew Wilson, but when they, you know, still had like a heart. But yes.
Android Wilson.
Good. That's very good. That, yeah.
I stole that. Sorry.
Games as a platform, Wilson. And I think, ideally, that would be what I would want them to go back to, where experimentation and genre diversity is at the forefront.
I think you're spot on. I think I want to see that with more resources and more time, because you look at some of those games you mentioned, Everything or Nothing, that James Bond game, it was so good.
That's the best one.
It was amazing. And even From Russia with Love was a great, faithful recreation of a movie I've never actually seen, but I loved the
Nightfire
game.
Nightfire was also amazing.
I haven't seen it.
Nightfire kept me going for a year.
Yeah, yeah, putting that up there, that it's just GoldenEye, isn't it? Better than GoldenEye. A lot of people cite GoldenEye, bit of a thing.
I'm not allowed
to swear on this podcast, probably, so let's
probably
move
better,
on.
Josh. This is what I feel when you've not played something from my childhood. Like Planet of the Apes.
What Planet of the Apes game from your childhood?
Yeah, you're not wrong. The top-down Home Alone one, though.
There was a good Game Boy one as well. Planet of the Apes. One. Yeah, based on Mark Wahlberg's version.
Oh, my God.
It was bad and hard, but I played it a lot.
Sorry. Have you played that more than you've seen the new movies?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Go on.
Back in the Attitude Era, I either got the choice of a few PlayStation 2 or 1 games or like a Game Boy game.
Okay.
I wasn't picking Game Boy games.
You should have been.
Nah.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't know where this Planet of the Apes game came from, because I wouldn't have bought it. And yeah, I don't know who would have bought it for me.
Well, because they on the movie side, they said that they're doing more movies again. And it's just like, no, let it end. The end of Rise is phenomenal. Just don't do anything else with
spin-off, but we should just let more Resident Evil movies come out and then get a good old Resident Evil game.
We definitely don't need more Resident Evil movies. As a closing thing, in terms of game studios and teams and stuff, my shout is to, like I said, is to give these properties to actually smaller teams, give them to indie teams, let them go crazy with it, and then your money invested on Disney's side is way less. And if it happens to bomb, then whatever. It doesn't discourage them from trying more things. I want a Stranger Things 3, John Hex, The Mummy Demastered, Dark Crystal. I want that approach to it, because I keep mentioning Dark Crystal, but that game is a turn-based XCOM style thing, which is not at all what I thought they would do for a all ages appropriate Netflix action show, fantasy show. What do you guys think in terms of like what dreams, caliber of studio do you want to see applied to this stuff?
Give me the sort of like the scope of Mandalorian, but give me that in a game, because the Mandalorian is already so much like a game.
Who would you give that to though? Which studio could make that real? I wonder. Because I'm thinking, I mean, on the top tier, it's like Rockstar, Naughty Dog. They're the top two in the industry, I would say.
Rockstar aren't making anything.
They're not going to do
anymore.
No.
You say this, but they made a Warriors game. You know what I mean? If they find
that's
what I mean. But if they find something, Disney own a bunch of properties. They've got to have at least one or two that Rockstar are like, hang on, I wouldn't mind making
Scarface 3.
How many did they sell more copies of GTA 5 last year than Warriors ever?
Come on, give them a break. You know what I mean?
Imagine Rockstar being tied to any of these things. The thing that makes it remotely possible is that Dan Houser has now left. So they don't have their lead creative writer anymore. They don't have that side. They have Sam Houser, who's the number cruncher.
Or maybe he's left because all they're going to do is GTA Online.
Well, maybe. I mean, that's like potentially like a whole separate thing. But I think that like some of the more unique things that came out of Rockstar overall, a lot of them feel like they came from Dan Houser, especially the nuanced story in Red Dead 2 or even the stuff in GTA 5. But yeah, Josh, who would you apply?
Great question. I kind of want I want a mix of both, right? I want some smaller indie studios to take on the properties and do something like John Wick Hex or, you know, The Mummy Demastered. But then I want me big AAA blockbusters, because at the end of the day, that's what these Disney and Fox properties are.
Right.
So I want to see them, you know, done with all the bells and whistles, because I kind of hate myself. And
you want the Avengers, don't you?
As much as I pretend to not like AAA big budget games, I really like AAA big budget games.
Give me Predator, but the style of the new Hitman.
games.
Ooh! Like, but you did a lot of jungle environments.
Take some of the isolated bits from like Concrete Jungle and give me like a bit of a free roaming sort of Predator game.
They're pretty much, for me, they're almost bang on with Predator Hunting Grounds, but I wish they would add like the Mercs and the Xenomorphs as well. Are there any studios you wouldn't give it to? I wouldn't give it to Ubisoft.
You know what? I would give it to Ubisoft.
Okay.
Because over the past couple of months, I feel like they're more committed to creating interesting games now. Like Ubisoft a year or two ago, absolutely not. But I'm hoping they're going to get their act together.
Wouldn't give anything to From Software.
Ben Roy, it was so
Ben Roy's
close.
Continual hatred of the best game from last year has seeped into this podcast as well. Why wouldn't you give it to From Software? Because it'd be too good.
Nah, because it'd just be so, like, you know, up itself and you have to, like, maybe block some big guy with a stick
I'm
for half an hour.
I'm so pleased this podcast is just about over.
It is almost over, but imagine if From Software did, I don't know what they could do, a Predator game? Some sort of...
No, they couldn't.
Melee,
no.
Why not?
Because let's just have more Bloodborne and stuff like that. Let's not taint Predator.
Bloodborne is just a worse version of Sekiro. It's Dark Souls with a dash.
It's the superior game.
It's not, though, is it?
It's the best game they've ever
made. Sekiro, it's almost in the name.
You're both mad.
It's true. Were you going to bust one out?
I don't know. Let's get a From Software Simpsons game. I don't know. If we're being mad...
Go on.
We'll just have that. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That would be potentially great. I would take a hack and slash Bill's bar.
It might be better than Hit and Run.
Stop busting out the mad stuff. We've only got a few minutes left. You said Hit and Run was 5 out of 10 before we came, and then you changed it to 4 out of 10.
Yeah, probably 4.
Good Lord. You wound the man.
Who knows what's going to be at the very end of the podcast? 3 out of 10 to you, Alex.
It's not good.
From Software's Hit and Run.
I tell you what, we'll end on a lovely question. Now, I was supposed to ask this at the very beginning, and I completely forgot, but I did remember eventually. Now, we do have the hashtag WCGP. You can go over there, leave some thoughts, leave some questions, leave whatever you like, and we'll get round to it eventually. Now, a few people have sent some questions. This one is from Nicholas Coombs. He says, what would a game about the What Culture Gaming family look like? What genre is it? Who is playable? Who are NPCs? Who are the bosses? Use your imagination. Now, I'm going to immediately say that Jules is the boss.
Jules is the boss. Yeah. Well, maybe you know...
Jules isn't actually our boss, but Jules is the
Untitled Goose Game, but Jules is like the goose. You know what I mean? Something like that would work. For me, it's a sort of Surgeon Simulator style thing where you're just kind of flailing all over the place. Yep. And eventually I'll fix this person
up. There's never enough SD cards. And it's just, you're always trying to set the studio up. Something's always missing.
It's probably more like an Overcooked for me.
You're always running around.
Like little Ben Roy running from the studio, running back to his desk, answering Slack, running back, setting someone up sort of thing. Trying to sneak out for lunch.
Everything's on fire.
Yeah, literally like at a Sim-style top-down thing where like you and Rich are forever in demand and Phil as well, like trying to set everybody up at once. I would take that. What else? It was, what genre is it? I'm going to go top-down, God game, populist style.
I don't know what that Surgeon Simulator style even is, but...
Just first-person flail.
The first-person flail them up. Yeah, I think we've got some good picks here.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe even like a theme hospital style, just like content creation style thing, and just like build an office.
Lastly, who's playable?
Also, this is perfect. This is where it becomes a live service because everyone currently employed is already playable. Then whoever joins afterwards is DLC extras.
Oh God! Like, if you did it like Dead or Alive 6 style, or 5 style, where you just pick, you pay for one, you get the Josh version, the Ben Roy version, the Scott version, and you buy and plug in different characters. We've become everything we hate.
Make them start as me because they want to buy you guys.
the freemium version. Yeah. Good. But you let us know. Every time I want to say, let us know what you think down in the comments, because we say it at the end of every single recording. You can't do that. Come find us on social media and let us know what you think and use the hashtag WCGP to leave us some questions and we'll get to them next time. For now, though, this has been the World Culture Gaming Podcast and I've been your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Ben Roy Turner.
No more From Software games for all, please.
You'll get one every year. Josh Brown?
Goodbye. The What Culture game would be definitely a Raid Shadow Legends game, I think.
Oh, most likely, yeah. Freemium, get your coins in the description below that doesn't exist.
There you go.
Bye, though.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.